You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
21 years old, and Rod Thorne came in to brought me into the office and was like, he's from West Virginia. Hey, Richard. So, we've been hearing some things, and you know that you've been out, you know, drinking heavily. If there's some issues, then I just want to let you know we can talk about it. And if we need to get you some help, I was like, you mean like a driver?
What's up, everybody? We're back. R2C2. It's a new year.
It is a new year. Happy New Year.
Decade.
It's a new decade.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah.
It feels fitting to start it off with the godfather of these style of podcasts. Richard Jefferson is back in the building.
That's a lie. Look, this is what I'll say. I had an idea that came from another idea, and I just tried to expand on it. I still love to give everybody, J.J. Redick was the first athlete that was doing a podcast. He was doing it on the Woj, but he wasn't doing anything like Channing and I decided to do.
Yeah.
And you guys aren't doing anything that me and Channing, like everyone builds on that. That was one of the reasons why I remember shouting you out when you first did it. And I was like, this looks pretty dope. Because to me, I just thought it was such an amazing idea for athletes to just give this direct content. And before we retired, right? And now we carry it on. And so like, that's where I think it's special. But I think what you guys do is unique, and everyone's got their own unique skill.
No doubt, man. You know, what's funny about it too is like, just thinking about, like, for you, when you retired, you were kind of like this premier, sought-after media talent that people had been eyeing while you were playing in your sport.
Yeah.
And now CeCe is in that position out of his sport where he started it while playing.
Yeah.
He's sought after in different ways.
The thing is, I'm not trying to stay in my sport, though.
Yeah.
Nobody want to watch the fucking boring-ass baseball games all summer.
No, come on, man.
But that's what's cool about this is anybody that starts following you, you're like, oh, he has other interests. He does enjoy other sports. You're able to show a side of your personality that you don't get in 10-second, 30-second interviews. Like, you get to talk long form. You get to talk about relationships. Drew Gooden, and, you know, I've been watching. You're able to do all of these things, which makes this platform so unique and special.
And it gives other athletes like this platform to tell their stories. You know,
yeah,
like, I just think about Cameron Maybin.
Yeah,
like, just
man.
Getting him on and like knowing like he'd be great at this. Like,
yes.
Having a podcast, just getting different guys on and knowing like their personalities and seeing, you know, it kind of shine through on the mic is dope.
And it's so competitive too. Like, to get these jobs at ESPN or on Fox Sports or on the YES Network, these things are competitive. So the sooner you start this process, and I think that's every generation gets smarter, right? You see guys like CJ McCollum, right? He doesn't do it often, but he probably does like one a month. But it's like, okay, he's putting in this work. When he goes to retire in 10 years, he's going to have a back catalog. He's going to have a group of people that enjoy listening to him talk and break down things. So when he gets to an opportunity for ESPN, they're like, oh, he's been doing this.
Yep.
Right? We just need to tweak him, teach him a few things, and he'll be off and running.
That's why I feel like Ryan Clark.
That's who I was. He's the first guy
so
I remember
great
who did.
Now,
he's
but
fantastic.
He started while he was playing.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And it, you know, it was a little raw and everything. Yeah. But now, I mean, I love listening
Ryan's
to that.
Yes, Ryan.
Breaking
Ryan
down his tweets and all that stuff. Like,
he is
hilarious. He started while he was playing.
Yeah.
I mean, another thing I kind of ripped off, like the ESPN thing the last year, just
gives
trying
you
to get
options.
A yeah,
just options
and just to get a feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I probably would have signed up to do Get Up. Yeah. Starting January 6th for the whole year.
Yeah.
You know, not knowing, you know what I'm saying, like having that experience last year and, you know, getting up that early is a little rough.
Grind.
You know what
I'm
saying? It's a real job. So
having
that experience and knowing that made me not sign up for that right away.
But that's the thing. Like, most of the times, it's just like this. We didn't have the same experience, but like applying to colleges. You apply to 6 colleges and maybe you get 3, maybe 5, and then you make your decision. But you got to go visit the place. You got to go see what it's about. You got to do your work prior to applying to college. And same thing. If you're interested in broadcasting, you got to go do the work. You got to go different places and see what it's like. This is no disrespect. I went to other places, like in Atlanta. I went and did some NBA TV stuff, and I did some Turner stuff. And it was like, yo, those are long. NBA TV hours are long. By the time you're done with that post-game show, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. And it's like, I dug it. I love the crew. Atlanta's a great city, but like New York, I have family here. I have friends here. And then all of a sudden, on the flip side of it, you're typically out at 10, 11 o'clock. So I made a decision. It's like, well, I'm familiar with New York, and I also know people here, and the hours are more conducive with me being getting back to my family. If you're doing this, if I didn't make that decision, I just signed up with NBA TV for a year, all of a sudden I'd be like, I don't like to broadcast.
Right.
I'm here at 3 in the morning every day.
I was like, I don't like
this. This is a real job.
And it's not that I didn't like Turner. I loved Turner. I loved NBA TV. I loved working with CBS Sports. But it just, that schedule, when I fresh out, I got a 3 and a 5-year-old. Yeah. If I'm working till 4 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning on East Coast, and I'm trying to fly back to be with my kids for 3-4 days, I ain't got two little boys gonna wear me out.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it was like, that was the business decision, but it's all because I just tried to learn as much as I could. And I was like, it wasn't that ESPN was better or it was just like that schedule worked better for me. And I love the people that I work with. Greenberg, amazing, right? Rachel Nichols, amazing. And there's just so many other people that you get to work with that are, you know, Ryan's okay.
Yeah.
You
know, he deals with me.
I deal with him. I get him with the yes now.
Hey, we had 2 games in a row recently.
ESPN?
That was good. Yeah. Yes. We have only done games together on Yes, but it's funny. We're the only two dudes who are both Yes and ESPN, I think.
Yes.
And so I feel like at some point we should lobby to do an ESPN game together, too.
I've been trying to tell him, man. Like, come on. Let's get it done.
I will say, like, especially the last couple times we worked together, I'm like, we got good chemistry.
We're so fortunate in where, I don't know what you're doing, but you should definitely show up at the Yes Network, right? You should. And I'll say this because they're such good people, and Flip is amazing.
He is.
Right? He's Papa Bear over everybody. He kind of gets on you when you need to get on, but he's also very, very smart and very intelligent. But it's like, again, working with you and Ian and Sarah, Frank, like there's just so many people that you work with.
It's a familial atmosphere too, you know, like it's a credit to Flip and Woody Fryman, John Littner, like the culture is great like that. And that is not always the case everywhere you go.
Do a lot of the same producers work for the baseball and basketball?
Some of them cross over. So, you know, my boy Troy, Troy will do a handful of basketball and then he'll do like 20, 30 baseball, Yankees. Frank will do 70, you know, Nets games, and then he'll do like 3 or 4 series of Yankees. But the main guy, like, so Frank will do a few, some baseball, and then Bill Bolin, who you know, who does Yankees, he'll do some basketball. But other members of the crew, they'll go back and forth.
Part of the reason why I was like, if I was going to do the Yes Network, right, when I was like looking, as like, I really enjoy Turner. I really enjoy the opportunity of doing CBS and college basketball and working my way through that family and possibly getting to a Final Four. You're like, wow, that would be dope to be able to do some NCAA tournament games. That would be awesome. And then you have like ESPN on the other side, but it was like ESPN's based in New York and LA. So LA, I'm close to my family. Then I'm also here in New York with the Yes Network. Yeah. So I'm working with those guys. So like that's how, but if you don't do all of that work, you don't get to make that decision. Sometimes those decisions are made for you. And when decisions are made for you, they might not work out and it actually can change your whole trajectory.
Also, like a lot of networks, even regional, local networks, they don't want you working anywhere else but with them. Yeah. Where Yes, I think, has been smart and they've had vision is they realize it only helps strengthen them to have their announcers doing national things.
It only helps their brand. To have you guys doing ESPN games. Like, he's doing Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Like,
it only helps your brand.
Chauncey was telling me this the other day. He's like, when I watch a Nets game, I feel like I'm watching a national
ESPN game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, that helps when
I'll say this. There are some regional networks, and I've even interviewed and met with regional networks You know, as I'm doing this, I work with a regional with Yes.
Yeah.
That they don't want you working with a, they want you there for, if you're going to work, they want you there 80 games.
Yep.
Right. I was just like, they want you 80 games. Yeah. He was like, guys, I don't know. Like, I ain't in this for the money.
And I'm not playing anymore.
It's like, I don't need that schedule. Yeah. And it's like, there's regional networks, and respectfully, they're like, this is what we want for our audience. This is what we want for our team. And I respect that. But that just because I respect our differences doesn't mean that I have to, or because I respect our differences means that I will respectfully, not necessarily decline, but even pull yourself out of that opportunity, because what you want and what I'm able to give you are two different things, mm-hmm. right? And so that's where, like, the Yes Network, like you said, you have to compliment them, because people look at them. If the Yes Network comes a calling, and they show you who's worked with them, is no different than in college basketball. I went to Arizona, and Lute Olson was like, these are the people that have come and worked for us.
Yeah.
Now, afterwards, they've made over $1 billion. Would you like to come and play basketball at Arizona? I was like, yeah. So the Yes Network is like, hey, look, we got Marv Albert, we got Mark Jackson, we got Ryan Rucco, we got Ian Eagle. And you're like, yeah, like, if you guys want me, I want to be here too, right? Like, that's the way it goes.
Michelle Beadle started
Michelle
with
Beadle.
Us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you go look back at, like,
does
so
she
many.
She still do ESPN games?
No, she's still, I believe, I could be wrong. Michelle may still be under contract with ESPN, but she's no longer on our air. But she had a very nice last deal with ESPN.
She had a very nice run. It's like,
she had an amazing run. And she's incredibly talented. Yeah.
And that was, you know, again, there's obviously politics and stuff that go into it. But it's like, from my experience of Beadle, when I was 25 years old, and then to be able to watch her rise and watch her dominance, no one's surprised by it. Yeah. If you had interaction with her and I was 25, she might have been, I'm not even sure her age at the time, but you're just
don't
like,
guess.
I'm not. That's why I thought about it. I was like, I'm not. And so that's why I said, I'm not sure. But when you look at it, you're like, I'm not surprised she was so successful, because she was sweet. She was endearing. She knew the sport. She was passionate about it, and she was professional. So you're not surprised when you see someone's success. And I think, when you start to look at this, just like any other thing, whether it's basketball, whether it's, you know, high school, hey, this is a job, and I want to be surrounded by the best. I went to Arizona because I wanted to be surrounded by the best. Mm. You know, my decisions in my basketball career, and you coming to the Yankees, it was like, I want to be surrounded by the best. And if you keep that mentality in anything that you do, right now, you got to bring something to the table, too. Yeah. You can't just be like, hey, I want to hang out with the best and I want to sit back and chill. Because eventually they're going to start looking at you. Yeah. Like, if you're going to bring something to the table, you know, you got to bring it. And so that's where, again, ESPN, Yes Network, I tell people all the time, man, like, I've learned so, so much from the people that I've worked with, working with you, working with Ian, working with Rachel Nichols, working with Greenberg. Mm-hmm. And they're all so different, mm-hmm. but you see how hard everyone works and you see why they've been successful. Like, I see your Emmys over there just sitting over there. Like, and I'm
we
just
display
like,
them.
Yeah, here. As you should. And I'm sitting here like, I might be too controversial, but I would love a regional Emmy.
Too controversial.
Yeah, I was like, I might.
Did you see Richard's dust up with the Knicks earlier this year?
I hope you didn't.
Pay attention. Wait,
you know, I might have said.
So I got to tell you this story. Richard and
I heard you might have seen
like, because it did go viral. So Richard and I are doing, for anyone who's listening to podcasts who doesn't know this moment, we're doing Nets Knicks, and at one point we put up some kind of graphic about guys who played for the Knicks and the Nets. Okay,
Kenyon Martin was in the building.
Yes, and he had done that, and so Richard's like, you know, see. That's where, like, that's I'm different. And Jay Kidd played for both, of course. And he's like, that's where I'm different than Jay and Kenyon, because, you know, I would never play for the Knicks. That's why I'm here doing this. You know, they were the only team that offered me.
Oh, yes.
Totally made up.
Is what I'm going to say.
Richard's deadpan is very good.
That's from multiple, I don't want to say years is not the right word. I've done it over multiple years, but that's improv. And I blame my amazing teachers at UCB. I was doing improv, and you just start going with something, and you just just keep going. Oh and gosh. It's like you go with the jokes, right? Like, I'm not going to say something that I don't believe. I'm not going to say that, you know, Giannis is the greatest player of all time, right? Yeah. I'm not going to just, like, yeah, I might have opinions, but with improv, you start doing like, hey, if this is the bit we're doing, then let's just keep going. Yeah, I didn't hate the
Knicks. It's the Knicks.
They offered me a max contract. They offered me a max contract, and they flew out, and you're just like, and people are like, wait, is this dude telling
me? They're like, wait, is this true? Right? Is this real?
Yeah.
You know what's funny about it, though? It's like afterwards then, like, the Knicks end up tweeting out, like, for the record, we did not offer Richard Jefferson a contract.
This is the biggest story they had all year. Oh, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And this is the thing. And this, and
Max
this is
Fizdale getting fired. This is the biggest thing
and
they've
had and this is the thing. So, like, I hate Knicks fans. I respect the Knicks, right? I grew up watching.
Yeah.
You know, the Knicks and everything that they did. And part of the reason why the Nets and when our generation of me, Jason Kidd, Kenyon Martin, Kerry Kittles, part of the reason why we played so when we played so well against the Knicks is because we respected what that meant. We knew that we were the smaller team. Yeah. We knew we were the smaller market. We knew that they were the big boys, right? And Spencer Dinwiddie said a very, very big thing. If you want to win an NBA championship, you got to be the best team in your city, best team in your division, best team in your conference, and then you got to win a championship. So you can't be talking about trying to win an NBA championship, which we were title contenders, unless you're the best team in your city, unless you're the best team in your conference. Like, that was the thing. And so we turned it into a rivalry mentally for us, right? Where it's like, anytime we play the Knicks, I don't care if they're down. We want to go and beat them by 50. I don't care if it's in the Garden. We want to go beat them by 100 in the Garden. Mm. And that was like, yes, it's not a rivalry in the sense that, like, the Knicks and Nets are the same place, but it's the Lakers and Clippers. Lakers and Clippers right now. Clippers don't have the history that the Lakers had.
Yeah.
Mind you, the Lakers, the Knicks don't have the history that the Lakers had. But we took it there. The Clippers and Lakers are taking it as a rivalry because you got to be the best team in your town if you want to win a championship.
Sure.
And so I looked at it as like, hey, it's a joke, and I was having fun, and I was cracking jokes. And all of a sudden, Frank, our producer's like, Richard, I don't know if you know this, but this is going viral. So are you telling the truth? And I'm sitting here like, am I telling the truth? Am I kind of? But is it funny? I was like, it's funny, right?
It's funny though, right?
Did you even say on the air the line, I'd rather be a broadcaster for the Nets than a player for the Knicks? I think you did.
Yeah, I 100% said that. Yeah. I was like,
Frank calls me next day. He's like, hey, Did you know Richard was joking, or were you like me? I was like, I gotta tell you, man, I thought he was joking, but then I'm like, gosh damn, his deadpan is so good. I didn't know. I started to believe it. I was like, wow.
It's just like this. Yeah. You know, when you got a curveball, when your curveball is working, you're like, hey, my deadpan is good. People are like, wait, is he telling truth? And truth be told, right, this is the part where two things. One, where I kind of felt bad, and this is where I felt bad. David Fizdale, I've known since I was in college. Mm. Great dude, right? I've known Steve Mill. I've known these guys for a long time. When they were forced to answer questions about it, that's where I was like, okay, that's partly the internet and people just being stupid.
Yeah.
But like, I felt bad when people that I respected had to answer questions about a joke.
About it.
It was still a joke, and if they weren't so bad, they might have taken it a little bit lighter. And obviously, you know, David Fizdale, you know, ended up being released shortly after that, like a couple weeks after that. But that was my only kind of regret. Is that no? And it was because
it
like,
ain't your fault the Knicks suck though. Like, if the Knicks
that's what
suck,
I've been saying. And all these people are like Knicks for clicks. And I'm like, listen, Knicks fans. One, we want you guys to be good.
Everybody wants to be good for the brand of basketball.
You don't
want to go to the Garden and watch a good basketball game.
Right.
In 10 years, I haven't been able to do that.
Yeah.
I've been here 11 years now.
And everybody says, like, look, you get to a space, and I understood. Someone that I really respected at ESPN was like, Richard, it is funny. And don't forget, this is sports and entertainment, and it is very entertaining. But the last thing we want you to do is go a little bit too far or troll them too much where you – like, if the Knicks, say, by, like, some miracle chance are great in 5 years, that you can't even go into the building and do a game for ESPN because, like, Dolan's like, we hate you. And look, I like, it's like Jerry Jones. It's like Dolan. I respect those people in that position, right? I don't ever talk about James Dolan. I don't talk about owners because they work in a different world.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about coaches. I talk about players. And I talk about fans. Mm-hmm. That's it. Owners, Yes. Do I have slight opinions on them? But they're in a different atmosphere. They're in a different world. So I don't talk about them from that space. Sell the Knicks. That ain't going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, this is a part of an estate. This is a part of something that is, like, not going to change. And so I don't talk about things outside my pay grade. But I do talk about coaches, and the Knicks fans are the worst fans. And this, let me tell you why you guys are so bad. And I'm glad we're here, and I'm glad I'm standing next to, like, New York people, New York great CC Bats. This is why I hate Knicks fans. They act like they're the Yankees, right? And this is no disrespect. This is disrespect. Let me change that. Do you understand how mad we are when we're forced to talk about the Knicks on national television? Do you know how mad we are? We're only talking about them because of their location. The proximity and your location is the only reason why we talk about your organization. That's it.
It's the same thing.
Same thing.
It's the Dallas Cowboys.
Like, yeah, and it's like, dude, if this collection of players was in Seattle, we would never talk about you.
We didn't even mention
you. We'd never mention you, but we're forced to do it. So don't say Knicks for clicks and all this other stuff. It's like, dude, we don't want to talk about this, but it is one of the historic great franchises in all of sports in the world. And so we're forced to do it. But people are like, oh, this guy. I'm like, yeah, am I a Knick hater? Yes. I busted your ass the entire time I was with the Nets. Right? We made the postseason. You guys made the postseason one time. We swept your ass out. And now I show up and I work for the Nets. Like, I'm having fun. Yeah.
So, wait, do you think this is helping your relationship with them?
No.
No,
I have no problem. Because this is the thing. This is the thing. Ryan, you've known me. Known me since I've been in the league.
Yeah.
I'm you can find me.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I'm not one of those guys that just, like, I'm out in the streets. Like, you know, you can find me at a bar drinking a beer. We can eat pizza. You can find me at One Oak. That was one of the things I said. I was like, our favorite thing used to be to destroy the Knicks and then go destroy their city. Right. Like, that was our thing. Right. And this is the thing. I promise. And look, before you guys get crazy on me about New York, it used to be like that in Miami. Right. Yeah. When I first got to the league, Miami was awful. So guys could go out till 5 in the morning, go give the Miami Heat a whooping, and then get out of town. Like, that was fun, guys. We might not win the next two, but boy, like, you know, it was the same thing. Like, Miami, LA, when the Lakers were struggling, the Clippers were struggling, you could go in on that road trip 4 days, be out every night, eating dinner, hanging out with whoever you wanted to hang out with, go courtside, Lakers, Clippers, bust they tails and get out of town. That was great. And that's what people used to do. People are doing that to the Knicks. They don't do it with the Nets so much right now. But that was the same way. My rookie year, and I know I'm going on a little rant. My rookie year,
phenomenal.
We won like probably about 10 to 12 games because no one expected the Nets to be that good. Right? And then all of a sudden they would come into town after drinking, and when we would run them out of the gym, they'd be like, ooh, like, remember Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
He played against us. My rookie year, we had 70, and we never scored. It was like 70-40 at halftime. You could see that MJ might have had a night out, right, in New York. He was like, I'm back traveling, and that was the thing. Sometimes your wins can be based off your location also.
Sure.
So if you're really struggling and you know guys are going out the night before they're playing the Knicks, because it's like, I only need to be at about 70% to really, like, do what I need to do. And now the Knicks have turned it around. Mike Miller has done a good job. He's kind of retweaked some things and got them rolling, but you got to enjoy the fun while you can. Understand it's entertainment, people.
That's like for us. When we know, like, a team's coming in and they only come in one time and it's on the weekend, we got a good chance of winning that series.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know it.
Like, a team that's not in our division, they only come in one time and it's on the weekend, we're going to win.
We're going to win that series. Like, these guys going to be banged up.
They're going to be banged up.
They're going to be banged up.
You guys really are talking about that, though. You know.
Yeah. And then sometimes teams have where they play interleague, so they'll play the Mets and then they'll come play us. By the time they play us, it's a wrap. By the weekend, it's over because we're going to sweep you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you've been in New York for a week.
Yeah.
You got no chance.
And
against us.
And so I remember when I was young and, like, we would go out, and I was a big New York go out guy. And we'd go down to, like, let's say we go to Chicago and it'd be Friday night. And they'd be like, you know, we would leave, be going home. And I'd be like, Richie, you coming out? I was like, nah, I'm cool. I'm going to go out when we get back home, right? It's like, but because their teams, look, if you're, and this is, again, this is just location, people, but if you're in a smaller market city, Charlotte, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, when you're coming to New York City and you're here for one night or two nights, you're going to go to dinner.
But guess what? You're going to look at the schedule and see when you go to New York, L.A., like, see when you got five people in town, like, yeah. Like when it's around holidays or whatever.
Yeah.
I would always look at this schedule.
Yeah. Look, in your younger days, if you had a girlfriend or a person that you were familiar with, right, you weren't flying them to New York. You would fly them to Cleveland, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, right? Like that's just the truth. Like, if you had, you know, if you were dating a girl and you were just like, hey, you know, like, I'm married now, so, you know, it's wife and kids every time they come out here. Mm-hmm. But it's like, when you're 23 years old, and you're playing in Oklahoma City and you're looking at the schedule and you know your 21-year-old girlfriend's like, hey, can I was like, no, babe, you like you can come to Cleveland.
That's gonna be tough, you know, tough road trip. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'll tell you what, if you're in a healthy relationship, you gotta give them one. You gotta give them either New York or Miami LA. Or LA. You gotta give them one. You can't just like,
it's not even that. If you're in a healthy relationship, they taking.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
They're taking one of
taking
those.
Taking one of two.
Or maybe right, two
yeah.
of the three.
Yeah, yeah.
So like you have no choice if you're in a healthy relationship.
If you're in a healthy relationship, that's key. But it's like, if you like, we're not talking about the 25-year-old guys that should be going out and having fun.
Yeah.
We're talking about the guys that are like 32, yeah. They married, they got two kids.
The wife's
looking at them as like, all right, well, Miami looks like a back-to-back, so you guys ain't going to be there that long. So it's like New York, and it depends on where you live and where you're from. Like, I'm from Phoenix. Great town to go out in. Fun, energetic. You know, it's family time. My wife's coming, kids coming. That's what it is. Dallas, other town. So it's the point of this is that it is a lot more tactical. And if you aren't good in a big city, you have an advantage that other teams don't
have.
That means
you're really not good.
Yeah. I'll give you a little sports history. Remember when Cleveland, they tied the Celtics record? I think they went 40-1 at home or something like that. Went 40-1 at home. And you're like, do you know how hard that is? You know why that is hard? Because no one was going out in
Everybody's
Cleveland.
Rested.
Everyone's rested. They were like, first of all, this is a good team. There ain't nothing to do. So I'm sitting in the Ritz-Carlton right there, feet up,
locked
just drinking
in.
Water, locked in, and going out there and still getting my head beat in. Still getting my head beat in.
Yeah.
You know how hard that is to do?
Yeah.
That's next to fucking impossible.
So you got to tell us, who's the craziest partier you've ever played with?
Outside of myself.
Yeah,
outside of myself. That's tough, man, because you know what? We bridged a gap, right, from like my rookie year to about like my 8-9 year when I, you know, slowed down my, you know, being out and hanging out. When I slowed it down, where social media came into play.
Mm.
And once social media and camera phones came into play, you had to be a lot more cautious. And not cautious in the sense of like you're doing something you're not supposed to, but it's like, if I want to go out and have beers with my friends and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm a professional. I'm not sloppy drunk. But now you got someone clapping and now all of a sudden it's TMZ Sports.
Yeah.
So you have to be so much more cautious about where you go and what you do. And guys still do it.
Mm-hmm.
Guys still go out there, but it's different now. No one has a party boy reputation. That was all like hearsay in the like
that was late 90s
late
90s early
2000s. You could be the party guy because it was like when they showed up, that's fine. But now it's like everything is so documented. They have like Twitter locations and it's
that's
just like so and so's here, did this, and you're just like, you can't go out anymore. You can't go out and do those things anymore. So I think it's different, man. When I say myself, it's because I was young. I lived with my two best friends in Tribeca right down the street. Mm. We would go out, have parties, come back, and just, you know, just have a good time like you're supposed to when you're 25, 26 years old.
Yeah.
But now it's just different. It's just there's a lot more eyes and a lot more critical. I remember Rod Thorne.
Yeah.
So I turned 21 right after I got drafted. Or I got right there, same time. I got drafted like the 19th, I turned of June. I turned 21 on the 21st,
and had your first beer.
Had my first
beer.
I was crazy, right? Yeah. We were having fun, right? And I'll never forget Rod Thorne. I was late to practice one day, right? And it was completely unrelated. That was one of my things. I always was the first one at practice, and I was always the last one to leave. So I'd always shoot before practice, and I would always shoot after practice. So the coaches, even though they knew I was very social, right, one rule I had at home is I would never go out the night before a game. Mm. Never. And I would always tell the rookies, they'd be like, hey, Rich, what are we doing? Because we'd have like a day off the next day. I was like, we'll talk about it after the game, right? Because that was always my focus was the game. And I would never go out. So even if my boys, like the Lakers were coming to town, and it'd be Luke Walton or whoever, they would come like, hey, I was like, I can go to dinner with you guys, but I'm not going to go out with you guys, right? I'm like, that's just my rule, because if I'm seen out the night before a game at home, just sets a very bad precedence. Mm-hmm. But I'm not ashamed to say that I was going out a lot and like having fun. Not hammered all the time.
No.
But
Rod, that look you gave,
yeah, like, I was like, But Rod Thorne, I was 21 years old, and Rod Thorne came in to brought me into the office and was like, you know, he's from West Virginia. Hey, Richard, so you know, we've been hearing some things, and you know that you've been out, you know, drinking and drinking heavily. We just, you know, we just want to kind of get this. If there's some issues, then I just want to let you know we can talk about it. If we need to get you some help, I was like, you mean like a driver? So what do you mean by help? Like, what do you mean like a driver? Because yeah, these cab. I was living in Jersey at the time. I'm like, man, these cab rides are expensive, and when you ever get into a cab, they don't like it when they hear Jersey, right? Like you leaving.
No,
you,
they sometimes yeah, they kick you out.
Yeah, they kick you out. They will. You hear and you leaving Spa or One Oak or everybody was, it was like Marquee or Butter or whatever it was. You leaving those places, Suede, and they're just like, it's 3:30, and you're like, I need to go to Jersey. And they're like, no, I'm sorry. So when he said help, in my fur head, I was like, a driver? I was like, you know what? That would save me a lot of money, Rod. And he was like, no. And I was like, Rod, I don't have a problem, but thank you for offering. And it was like 5 years later, he kind of appreciated. And this is I'm not going to compare myself to this guy, but this, Derek Jeter. Was a very social guy. Right? No, very, very social. No, but I'm saying social guy as far as like how he was viewed in New York. He wasn't a person that was like out partying, raging, but it was like people would, they would hear stories of exploits, right?
Yeah.
But you could still be a professional. You could still do the things that you needed to do and still have a good time. And I felt like I was fairly good at doing that balance.
See, you could probably shed a lot of light on that.
I can't shed nothing on nothing, bro. I know I was in the principal's office all the time when I was 20 when I got to the big leagues. I couldn't have played in the city. Yeah, no chance. Like, I was wild. And I was getting in trouble in Cleveland. Like, I couldn't imagine being here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It takes discipline. You learn.
And I didn't have it. Yeah, I didn't have it.
But
learn
it.
Yeah. Like, I had to mature. Having kids and shit, like, made me mature to discipline to, like, take the game serious.
Yeah.
Because it was my first couple of years, I wouldn't have been able to play here, for sure.
And that's where I was fortunate, man. I had, again, there was no social media. I had vets around me. This is a completely unrelated thing, but it just lets you know, like, I got here right after 9/11. Mm-hmm. So it's like the city wasn't fun, mm-hmm. right? There was no bars. There was no – people just weren't out being social, and understandably so. Like, it was impacting the entire world, especially this city. And so to be here and get drafted 2 months, 3 months before 9/11, and then, like, I just turned 21. Right. So I was in New York. So I was like looking for something to do. Yeah, I could finally like hand someone my ID. I understand what's going on socially, but it doesn't change the fact that you're a 21-year-old now
in New York City.
In New York City. Yeah. So it was like, so the cool thing about it is that I learned discipline, and then the city started to grow again. The city in 2003, people felt okay with going out and drinking. People felt okay a little bit about getting back to a little bit of normalcy in their life. At the same point in time that I had kind of understood some guidelines, like do not go out the night before a game. Go to dinner. And even if you get called into the principal's office, you'd be like, listen, I went to dinner. Had a beer at dinner. There was nobody that was going to see me out. But again, there wasn't social media. So it was like, as long as like Page Six didn't say this person was out at this place, then you could go and go to dinner and stay out till 12 o'clock and be fine.
Man, I even feel like in the beginning when I first started doing this and I was like, I do some road games for Yankees on stats and like 07 and something like that. You would go to the like hotel bar.
Oh,
you would see guys.
Would
yeah, whole team would be down there.
Yeah, but now with social media, you get one person walking through and take a picture of Jason Giambi.
Yeah,
then,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't – it's crazy with social media. And that started in 09.
Yeah.
When I first got here, Swish was the first baseball player to have Twitter. And it just kind of went off from there, like people snapping pictures and – shit being everywhere, so
it was.
Now it's room service.
By that time, I was. I was already 29, 30 years old. Yeah. So I was
and,
old.
And it's not a bad thing, but there's pluses and minuses to it, right? And it's like you want these guys to not feel like a bubble. You hear so much of like mental health, right? And I think their social media is it because you don't get a break, right? Anytime you go somewhere, people can throw a camera in your phone. And because you're making the money, people don't assume or people have no sympathy, right? Mm-hmm. So this is
very true.
People have no money, no sympathy. So one thing that I said to some guy and it kind of struck a chord and I like to say it because it helps people realize it, right? Everyone knows about the creeps that take pictures of girls on subways, right? There's creeps out there that just take pictures of women, like just, sitting there and they're like, oh. And I look at it like from a daughter standpoint. And someone's like, oh, well, you're famous. You should be used to it. You're famous. It's okay. And it's like, well, she's hot. It's okay. It's like, no. At the end of the day, taking a picture without somebody's permission is wrong. And you should not do that. And if someone says they would not like to take a picture or a video, you should respect them. Mm. And if you don't, then you are a piece of shit, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And I stand by that. Like, you can have a beautiful girl sitting across from you, and if you're creeping and taking pictures, that's you're a piece of shit.
You're
a piece of shit.
You're
a piece of shit. If you see a beautiful chick in the gym and you're taking pictures, you're a piece of shit, right? And that stands that just because she's beautiful and she should be used to it, or she should know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, these are human beings and you should respect their privacy, whether it's a beautiful woman, a handsome man, whether it's a famous person, whether it's a celebrity, whoever it is, you should respect their space. And that's something that we've lost in social media, in like all of this, like all the time content.
You know what's crazy? Like, now, recently, like the last 2 months, people don't even ask no more. They just come up
to
and
take
like,
it.
Yeah. Like, they'll just come up next to you and just take a fucking picture.
Are you serious? Without even saying.
Yeah, that's just happened to me a lot. Like, over the
like, oh, no, it's okay.
Season.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. And you're just like,
no. I don't like doing that shit when I'm with my family.
That's what I said. I said,
like, if I'm in the mall or something looking around with my kid, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hate that shit. So, that's the only time it really bothers me.
And you don't, and this is what I'm saying. We sit standing in line at Starbucks. Come get me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We stand in line at Walmart.
Yeah.
Come get me. I'm pumping gas. Come get me.
Yeah.
I'm holding my kid. Leave me
alone. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
If you see
alone.
Me walking in Target and I got my kids,
I'm
flustered.
Yeah.
I'm flustered. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's shit going on. I got my kids and shit. Like, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be a regular parent.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's
just like if you have four kids running around the fucking store, you'd be flustered too.
Yeah, hell yeah, man.
And that's the funny thing. It's like, dude, there is no disrespect. Because at the same point in time, Channing Frye tweeted the other day, right? Somebody was like, yo, I see Channing Frye and I try and get it. I see Channing Frye and I was like, Channing Frye, I try to take a picture. He flips me off and drives off. And Channing goes, what kind of car was I driving? And it's like, all of a sudden, there's like no crickets. And it's like, people can create whatever narrative they want.
Man.
I had a guy. Let me tell you the story because this shit pissed me off.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. That's a hell of an entree.
I'm not going to say if it was Postmates, Uber Eats. I'm not going to say who it was.
But it was one of those two.
It was one of those because those are the only ones I got on my phone, right?
We've narrowed the field significantly.
So, you know, I got my wife's gone, and you know, I'm trying to feed these damn kids, and I'm ordering food, and there are some people there. So, and my name is like, it's not what it is on the thing.
You.
It's something
don't tell
different.
Us what
yeah,
it is,
whatever.
Yeah.
So I order like a good amount of food, right? And so like I get there, and I got my kids, and I'm like trying to feed them, and you know, right after you get this notification if you would like to tip someone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like I get this food, I put my phone down, and I'm trying to feed my 5 and 3 year old little boys, little jerks, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to feed them. So a couple, like a day later, I haven't opened the app again. You don't open the app again. And all of a sudden, I see a notification on Twitter. Like, and somebody's like, so Richard Jefferson ordered $200 worth of food and ain't tipped, blah, blah, blah. And I was like,
oh my gosh, man.
You know, and I was like, and look, because we know. It doesn't matter if I'm getting an Uber, taxi, whatever. People recognize this, so I'm always very generous, right?
Yeah.
Because like it's a
reputation.
It's a reputation. No, it's like I understand how hard they work, and they like just out of respect for that craft. Unless you're a real dick, then I'll just whatever. Because you should never get service regardless. But this guy puts me on blast. I'm like, dog, I was just trying to feed my kids. I'm sorry I ain't open the app again.
Yeah.
And this dude's putting me on Twitter, talking about I ain't. And so, I, like, being the true dick that I am, I waited another 3 days before I tipped him properly. Right? Before I tipped
him. I
would
have ordered from him again.
But that's the thing. It's like, yo, people don't understand this stuff because once you do it, they know your address. They know all of these things. So it's like, dog, I'm just trying to order Uber Eats from, and all of a sudden, this guy now knows my address. He's now annoyed.
Now he's pissed.
I'm sorry, I like put the phone down and fed my kids and I ain't opened the app again in 48 hours.
Yeah.
And you want to put me on Twitter talking about, oh, he ain't tipped me yet for this stuff. And I'm just like, damn, what kind of world are we living in?
That's scary, man.
Right?
That is like,
it's funny to me because I find humor in those things, but these are things that these are experiences that people don't fully ever understand until they're in that position. I'm like, this man just talks shit on me on Twitter for not tipping him. But the only reason why I didn't tip him is because I hadn't opened the app, because as soon as I got the food, I'm flustered.
I got kids.
I'm trying to feed these kids. Yeah. Man, and my little piece of shit, little munchkins, man, they talking about they want some sushi. I order them a bunch of sugar fish. Like, that's what I'm saying. They drink
kombucha.
Oh,
you went crazy too.
Oh,
sugar
man.
Fish.
A sugar fish, because you know what?
Sugar fish is great. Man, it's great. I love sugar fish.
Not for a 5 and 3 year old.
Yeah.
And so look, at the end of the day, right? At the end of the day,
I know,
like,
what service it was.
Well, whatever.
Now.
Look, it was, 20, it was like, and look, where I live, they get there in like 25 minutes. So I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
I'll put on a little Paw Patrol. Yeah. They ain't going to move. They're not going to move for 25 minutes. I got the food coming. They wanted none of that food. None of it.
Oh,
and I'm trying to feed them because it's nap time. And if they don't eat, then they take a nap. So I'm like sitting here. And now this man's talking shit about me on Twitter when all I want is to feed these kids
so
and get them a good nap. That's it. What kind of
people
shit? What kind of shit is that?
The kids world, I'm telling you.
What kind of shit is
people
that?
People don't get that shit.
And
I'm
now
telling
he talking shit about me, CC. I'm mad. Thank you guys for letting me get this out.
You know
I'm
what's
frustrated.
Crazy? People kill me because I never come out of my house.
No.
They're like, oh, you want to go to dinner? I'm like, yeah, I'll go. And I never show up. I never do shit. But I got fucking 4
kids. Yeah.
So if one of them gets sick or I got to pick somebody up from fucking school or do something, guess what?
Yeah.
I can't fucking come.
I can't come.
You know what I'm saying? People don't understand having fucking kids, bro. That shit is a real fucking job.
It don't matter how much help you have. There's
it does
going
not
to,
matter.
And listen, having more help just means that you are ill-equipped when the moment's near.
Exactly.
That means it is ill-equipped.
When you have more nannies and your wife is there, that means when you have them by yourself, you don't
know
what
the fuck to
do.
Right?
You can sit them on the couch.
Listen, I'll
and
tell
have
you what.
Watch Nickelodeon.
Let get somebody right here that doesn't drink. Give them 6 shots of vodka and see what happens to them in fucking 30 minutes. They'll be on the floor like, what the fuck happened? That was me.
Yeah.
So this motherfucker's sitting here talking trash about me. I'm feeding the kids. I'm tired. They don't want to take naps. They're like eating the sushi and spitting it out. I'm like, you're the one that wanted sushi. The fact that you like sushi pisses me off.
Sushi?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Carter.
That's sushi. My kids like it, love it. It's like, dude, I ordered like some California rolls. I wanted to order a bunch of different things.
Yeah.
So like to make sure.
Good.
Like they're just like, okay, you don't like this? Well, here, eat some more of your brother's this. And it's like, yeah, that shit's expensive too.
Oh,
and I'm
gosh.
Mad when I actually wanted you to drink. You said kombucha. I wanted to slap the shit out of
you. You know what's crazy? Is I do the same shit. Like, on Saturday, we had Chinese food. Amber wasn't there. The kids wanted Chinese food. I ordered $400 worth of Chinese food. I don't know what anybody
what
wants.
To do?
I want one of everything.
Everyone's eating.
I want everything.
Listen, you don't tell me.
Fried rice with vegetables. Fried rice, no vegetables. Noodles with vegetables. Noodles with no. It was crazy.
And I tell
we had so much fucking food.
Dog.
My wife was like, what are you doing?
Do it. I was like, I wasn't going to mess this up.
No, I was just going to give everybody.
And my little guy, my little chunk, right? He's allergic to everything.
Oh,
so
no.
It's like, well, I'm saying, like, he's allergic to like butter and milk and like peanuts and like he's just allergic. So it's like he's allergic to a lot. So I was like, okay, this is it, right? I can't order like chicken here because it could be cooked, fried in butter.
Or
so you're doing all of these little dances, like which my little and like he like breaks out. He's not like deathly allergic, but he like breaks
but
out.
It's not good.
And I was like, I'm not gonna have you crying and you not being able to take a nap. Cause I take a nap too, right? I need a nap after days
take
like
a
that.
Nap too.
But it's just like, yo, these are the things. And like the whole point of the story is that like you can get criticized for just being a parent. And because people don't know what's going on in your life. And like, yes, would I be a deadbeat if I ordered $200 worth of food and didn't
tip the guy? Yeah, of course.
Yes, I'm a deadbeat.
But you just didn't open the app.
But I just hadn't opened the app. This is not like I walked out my Uber and it's the same thing that happened with Uber.
Happens to me all the time with Uber. I open it
five days later and it's like, would you like to tip a guy?
Yeah,
this guy put me on social media and I wanted to not, but I know how hard these people work.
Yeah.
Like my mom and my dad, bagged groceries at Fry's. My dad used to clean the floors at the Hilton. Like, I understand how hard these people work, especially people that work for tips. So I will never disrespect somebody. But someone put it out there that I was disrespecting.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting over here trying to feed these damn kids fucking sushi and they don't want to eat it. And they just being jerks.
I love it.
Man, that was my shit, man.
So,
I love it.
You know what I love is You guys have turned R2C2 into the best parenting podcast.
Oh,
for dad.
Yo,
exactly.
Yo, exactly. I'm telling you, one of my actually UCB teachers, Betsy Stover, right? So I'm a plug her podcast. Betsy Stover, she has a podcast called Why Mommy Drinks. Right? Why Mommy Drinks. And so her and her one of her best friends, and then they tell you before, like, give us a story about why you drank because of your kids. Betsy Stover,
good.
Anybody out there, or if you want to suggest a podcast to your wife or your mom or anybody, it's called Why Mommy's Drinks, and like she has some really amazing guests. But I went on it. But it's true. Your kids can force you to like go a little crazy, a little sideways. Like even something as simple as like we're so fortunate to be able to afford the things that we can do, to be able to feed our kids. Like I've been in the home growing up where there was just like sugar and water and syrup and bread, and you just make the best out of it. So I'm not complaining about that. I'm just not complaining, just showing that like it don't matter how much money you have, don't matter how famous you are, your kids are looking at you like, I ain't eating this. What you gonna do? And if I don't eat, I ain't taking a nap. So you sit here like, well, shit. Damn.
That's my 11-year-old. She wakes up in a bad mood. It fucks
everybody day up.
She wakes up in a bad mood in the morning, like, I'll just go back to bed. Fuck this. I'm not dealing with this shit at my kitchen table. Like, she's cussing. I know she's cussing me out right now under her breath, but she ain't going, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not dealing with this shit.
That shit's stressful, man. These kids, and I got two, I got two little boys, and they are boys, and they are just throwing stuff at each other. The four-year-old tries to get the other one to say something or do something. He'll just be like, start doing this just to watch his brother then start throwing his food. He'll throw like one piece of rice. He'll throw one piece of rice just to make his brother throw the whole bowl. And it's like, now I don't know who I'm mad at, who I'm supposed to yell, because now the food's on the floor, and now I got to go get more food to feed him just so they can take a nap. And then I end up just giving them pirate's booty and applesauce.
That pirate's booty is good, though.
Oh, they
man.
Love it. They it's, love it. It's,
quick,
anything, I'll rock them to sleep. Like, and they ain't gonna sleep good, but you know, the goal is just to get them to sleep. So when mom shows up, it's like, yeah, they taking a nap. I did my job. She'll ask me later, how long did he sleep for? Or how did he eat? I'm like, he ate pretty good. I don't know why he slept. No, damn well, he ain't eat nothing. Nothing.
Phenomenal. Richard, thank you, man. Thank you for coming
anytime,
on.
Anytime, man. Anytime.
We got to have you back sometime soon, man.
You know me. I got nothing to do.
Yeah, doing more Nets games, too. So
yeah, I got a Nets game tonight.
Yeah,
I know. Are you working tonight?
I'm not.
That's why you asked me.
Yeah. OKC.
OKC.
He's actually shockingly good.
Are they going to trade CP3? What's up with these trades?
I don't know. That CP3 thing is weird because, like, this is the thing about CP3. This is an example of his greatness.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
them being good?
Them being good. And it's not just him. But it's like, yo, this guy can really play, and he's a great floor general. He'll get everyone in the right spots. That could wear on some other star players.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say.
That could wear
what
on
about,
star
like,
players.
Yeah, what about like the chemistry factor of like him coming to Philly? What I'm just saying.
But
you know what I'm saying?
Let's watch this. Let's watch what he did and this is where
he
he's great.
Going to the Lakers.
No, what he did with Charlotte when he was with the Hornets. Where were they? Where the New Orleans? They were with Hornets. And he was a great floor general.
Yeah.
Then he went to the Clippers, and he helped raise them up with Blake Griffin and all these guys in Lob City. But he helped get everybody right. And then he went to Houston. They had their best season, right? But it does wear on players, right? Yeah. It wears on players. So you take him to a place where he's got something left in the tank, but guys that are willing to listen and follow his lead, and look at where they are in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
This season is a perfect example of his greatness. But now his change needs to be how he interacts with other star players, and that's where it just has worn. It looks like it has worn on star players. He didn't have a great relationship with Blake, didn't have a great relationship with James.
DeAndre.
And it's like, he's not all to blame for that.
Yeah.
Right? He's not all to blame. Like, you can see that James is, you know, hasn't been perfect. You can see Blake Griffin, his stint in Detroit has been a debacle. So it's like, but that's the thing. So when you say Oklahoma City, it's surprising. It is. But if you really break down what Chris Paul has done everywhere he's gone,
yeah,
it's not as much of a surprise. His biggest thing is that he just can't do it for 82 in an entire postseason because his body typically has broken down on him in some of the most crucial moments.
No doubt.
That's how you break down some basketball.
Man, how about that?
That's what we do, right?
That's what we do.
See, let's be honest.
I got more questions.
Right, exactly. We got to have you back on. 100%. We got to do a trade deadline show.
We'll do a trade deadline show. I don't know where I'm at.
Where are you in February?
I don't know.
We can do an advance of the trade deadline. I know we have Milwaukee together on Jan 18th.
I can't wait, man. Yeah. I'll be back. That's why
when
I was
is
like,
the trade deadline?
February 15th.
It's actually on my schedule. Trade deadline is
February 17th, maybe.
I got a trip to the Northern Lights that week.
Ooh. Wait, are you going to try and see the Orcas?
February 6th. February 6th.
They're not there.
They're not there in February?
They're doing a different migration?
It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's like March. It's
Northern Lights on my bucket
October
list.
October until January.
Gotcha.
It's the Orcas. But yeah, we're doing it. Igloo.
I want
the whole family going?
Little C can't. Basketball.
Really?
So fuck it. He's out.
Yeah, he's out. He's out. Hey, how many sacrifices have you made your life? Let me sacrifice. I didn't get a spring. I never got a spring break.
No.
I never got
any shit. Summer since 97, bro.
Christmas break. I ain't had shit. Meanwhile, I've been on summer vacation my entire life. That's the best thing about the NBA. Summer vacation my entire life.
I had a summer off. And normally, like right now, I would be drinking these green juices panicking.
Yeah.
Like trying to get my weight down. Like making sure my arm feels good.
Yeah.
I feel so good right now.
Yeah, I'm telling.
No sling anymore either, man.
No sling.
Are you sleeping now?
Sleeping
again?
Good.
Okay, good.
Oh,
like I'm really retired now. I'm good.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah. It is.
Being retired. And it's like you miss it.
Know what? I was so fucking banged up and like just piecing it together at the end that I'm not gonna miss that.
Yeah. No, that's how I tell people. I say, I don't miss like obviously winning and you miss camaraderie. I miss two things. I miss being good at 25, and I miss playing in the postseason. Because if you play in the postseason, it don't matter if you're 35 or you're 21. It's fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's everything. Yeah. That mental fun and the challenge, like that stuff is great, especially because I was fortunate to be on good teams later,
yeah.
Right, that made some runs. But, yeah, I miss being 25. You miss winning the Cy. You miss those days.
Oh, yeah. Like feeling good going out and dominating.
Yeah. Yeah. You miss that. It's like, yeah, but take this.
It's like these last 5 years what I've been going through. Yeah. Fuck that. Yeah. I'm ready to go sit on the couch and watch somebody else.
Yeah, talk that shit. Be like, yeah, man. Curveball. What was he thinking?
That's it. That's a preview into CeCe's analysis.
There we go.
Richard, thank you, man.
Oh,
this
anytime,
great.
Guys, man.
And we will be back next Thursday. We're back rolling 2020, man.
Yeah.
Here we go. Listen, rate, review, subscribe. You guys know the deal. Peace.